Good afternoon. You're listening to On Blast with the Philadelphia Student Union on WPEB 88.1 FM. We're your hosts for today's show. I'm Kimora Lamott.
And I'm Isaiah Enoch. The Student Union is a youth-led organization. We are a group of young people from Philadelphia Public Schools making changes in the school system, doing political education and leadership development.
On Blast is the only youth-led and youth-produced radio show in Philadelphia. That means that students do the interviews, edit and produce segments, and we host the show. We are using the media as a tool to organize and liberate young people.
You can tune in to On Blast every Sunday from 1 to 2 p.m. on 88.1 FM, WPEB. Or you can also listen to the show online by going to our podcast at onblast.podomatic.com. While you are there, you can also subscribe to our podcast, and we have shows, new shows sent directly to your iTunes.
Today we'll hear audio from our recent action about the distribution of qualified teachers.
We'll listen to an interview with a student organizer that was recorded by PSU members during the Student Farm Workers Alliance Conference in Milwaukee, Florida.
And we'll learn about student-weighted funding. Plus, we'll have music and other news.
Now we're going to play a segment from PSU Action last week about teacher quality.
On Thursday, October 2nd, the Philadelphia Student Union held an action about teacher contract negotiations titled Without a Trace, Searching for Students in Contract Negotiations. This action included speakers from several schools, Kappa, Overbrook, and Masterman. The reason that we held this action is that we feel that teacher contract negotiations are lacking discussion about students' needs. One major problem in the district is an inequitable distribution of qualified teachers across schools. We believe that one solution to this problem is the use of teacher incentive grants. Teacher incentive grants are sums of money that are allocated for hard-to-staff schools, where the teachers of those individual schools can decide how the money is spent. For example, if teachers at a certain school decided that the school needed more support staff, they would have the money to make that change. We think that these grants will provide an incentive for teachers to remain at struggling schools, which would help those schools improve and create a better learning environment for students. Now, we will hear some highlights from the action, recorded by Amber Felton and Andrew Perez.
What do we want?
Teachers!
When do we want them?
Now!
What do we want?
Teachers!
Okay, good afternoon. My name is Kimora Lamont from Philadelphia Student Union, and I'm part of the Kappa chapter. Last year at Kappa, I had a teacher. Her name was Miss Butani. Miss Butani taught 10th grade biology. And personally for me, biology was a really tough subject to grasp. But the way she taught it made it easy for me to understand. It's not like she was just rushing through the class lesson requirements. It's like she actually wanted to make sure we were understanding what she was teaching us. Miss Butani is only one of many teachers at my school who takes the time out to help the students and cares about the education we're receiving. Having teachers like this at my school makes it difficult for me to imagine being at a school where I wouldn't have the same qualified teachers, where the teachers are less experienced and careless as to the students' needs. It is a stated fact that only 57% of Philadelphia's CA2 high school teachers are highly qualified. It's not fair that students aren't receiving equal educational opportunities. It's not fair, but it is happening.
Teacher coaches on deck. Incentive's so nice. We can have smaller class sizes. Teachers, you can have whatever you like. Like said, you can have whatever you like. Yeah. Treat you so special, so nice. Karma planning time, so right. Teachers, you can have whatever you like.
Schools are supposed to be here to educate students, and so it's critical that we keep students in mind when crafting teacher contracts. One problem in particular that concerns many students is that of inequitable teacher distribution. To address this problem, we're asking for the contracts to include teacher incentive grants.
These grants would encourage teachers to stay at the schools that need them the most, which would help close the equity gap in district schools. As a Masterman student, I could just ignore the problem and be happy that we have so many qualified teachers in my school. But I refuse to do that. We cannot continue to ignore the startling differences in teacher quality in Philadelphia's schools. We magnet school students and neighborhood school students and the Philadelphia Student Union stand together to demand that all of Philadelphia students have access to the experienced and qualified teachers that they deserve.
Students united will never be defeated. Students united will never be defeated. Students united will never be defeated. Students united will never be defeated.
I saw the statistics for highly qualified teachers in Pennsylvania and Philadelphia. I was highly upset. Then I saw the statistics for teachers in the corrective action 2 schools like Overbrook, and I became even more upset. The percentage of highly qualified teachers in Pennsylvania is 98%, but in most Philadelphia neighborhood high schools, the percentage of highly qualified teachers is little over 50%. The difference in these numbers might not sound like anything, but the effect is traumatic for students. As a student in Overbrook High School, I have witnessed firsthand the low quality of teachers in my school. I've seen students cut class and come into my classroom to avoid bad teachers. Earlier this year, I've had a teacher miss 2 weeks of school, and in that time, my class had a string of subs who had no sense of work. We did crossword puzzles and watched the movie Hancock instead of work. Now my science class is 2 weeks behind every other science class in school. The system of teacher distribution in Philadelphia is broken. A broken system that punishes students. The best teachers are not where they're needed the most. So as students, we demand that the teachers and the district officials fix this system at the negotiation table. If this can't be done by the deadline at the end of this month, then we support the one-year contract to continue the negotiations. I can't afford to be 2 weeks behind in my science class. And no student can afford to be in school where only half of the teachers are qualified.
The speakers you heard during this piece were Kimora Lamont, Finesse Davis, and myself, Greg Jordan Dunmore. Matt Johnson produced this piece for On Blast.
Stay tuned for more On Blast after this short music break.
Mirror, mirror on the wall. Tell me, mirror, what is wrong? Can it be my daylight clothes or is it just my daylight song? What I do ain't make believe. People say I sit and try, but when it comes to being daylight, it's just me, myself. Style and my plug one spectacles. You say plug one and two are hippies? No, we're not. That's pure plug bull. Always pushing that we formed an image. There's no need to lie. When it comes to being plug one, it's just me, myself, and I. 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 I speak the plug too tight. Please, oh please, let plug to be himself, not what you read or write. Right is wrong when hype is written on the soul, they lie, that is. Style is surely our own thing, not the false disguise of showbiz. They lie, soul is from the soul, and this fact I can't deny. Strictly from the Dan called Stucky, and from me, myself, and I. It's just me, myself, and I.
myself, and I. It's just me, myself, and I. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory 4 plus 1 and 2. But that glory's been denied by Cassids and Gookie eyes. People think they diss my person by stating I'm darkly packed. I know this, so I point at Q-Tip and he states,
black is black.
Mirror, mirror on the wall, shovel chestnuts in my path. Just keep all nuts with the nuts so I don't get an aftermath. But if I do, I'll calmly punch them in the 4th day of July. Cause they try to mess with third degree, that's me, myself, and I. It's just me, myself, and I. Just me, myself, and I. It's just me, myself, and I.
We just heard a piece about PSU's latest action. Now let's get some news about schools in other cities.
Recent news stories have told about how New York City's school district is struggling with overcrowded schools. The population of New York City is rapidly increasing, along with a large increase in school-aged children. A parent group called Class Size Matters has reported that about 38% of students in New York attend overcrowded schools. An article in the New York Daily News talked about one school that was at 200% capacity. A group of parents, teachers, and education advocates has formed a campaign called A Better Capital Plan, which seeks three reforms to reduce overcrowding. First, to reduce class sizes to 20 in grades K to 3 and 23 in higher grades. Second, to add new schools as neighborhoods grow. And finally, to bring back sometimes forgotten spaces such as art rooms. We PSU students also suffer from overcrowding in our classrooms. It is harder to learn in overcrowded classes. Students get less individual attention, and it is harder for teachers to get to everyone. Besides overcrowded classes, our schools also suffer from a lack of qualified teachers. As we fight to make change in Philadelphia schools, we are also trying to change the education system as a whole, so that all students, including students in New York, get the quality schools that they deserve.
A recent article in New York Times described how rapid population loss and enrollment decline are causing serious problems in Detroit's struggling school district. It has been estimated that the district's enrollment for this year is about 88% lower than last year. And Detroit News even reported that it might be as high as 16%, which is the lowest total enrollment in Detroit's public school in about 90 years, according to the article. District officials estimated that they will lose about $60 million in state funding. They also stated that they have to close dozens of schools in recent years.
It's important to talk about this because urban school districts across the country are struggling. They often have mostly poor and working class and minority students. Just like in Philly, these districts are struggling because they are very underfunded. Also, like Philly, Detroit schools are in crisis, while schools in Detroit's wealthier suburbs are well-funded and successful.
The new chancellor of Washington, D.C.'s schools, Michelle Rhee, has instituted radical and controversial new policies regarding teacher pay and firing practices. Teachers have traditionally been paid according to years of experience and educational attainment, but she seeks to change that. She has proposed that teachers be able to choose between being paid according to the traditional scheme or being subject to an evaluation, which could result in being paid much higher than even the most qualified teachers are currently paid. It could also result in being fired. The idea is that the higher potential earnings would draw better teachers. More controversial has been her proposal to subject underperforming teachers to a 90-day review period, after which they could be fired if they do not meet expectations. The president of the Washington Teachers Union has denounced the idea, saying that you cannot fire your way into a successful school district. He would like the district to place more emphasis on helping the teachers. Also, others are worried that there may not be an adequate suppliers of teachers to replace the fired ones. Washington, just like Philadelphia, has struggled with teacher quality problems. Struggling districts often use drastic measures to deal with their problems. While we at Student Union support using creative solutions, we do not support the fire and hire philosophy, because it puts the blame on the teachers. We support giving more help to the teachers at struggling schools, such as common planning time, more resources, more non-teaching support staff, and smaller class sizes.
In September, students from Philadelphia Student Union went to Imlaki, Florida, for a conference put on by the Student Farm Worker Alliance. The interview we're about to hear is with John Michael, a student activist in the Student Farm Worker Alliance, which is part of the Coalition of Imlaki Workers. Eric Yates recorded this interview.
My name is John Michael Torres, and I work with the World Peace Alliance of the Rio Grande Valley of Texas.
And how did you, with your organization, find out about CIW and the SFA?
I actually started working with the Student Farm Worker Alliance when I was in the University of Texas at Austin, because the Campus Greens organization had just recently learned about the CIW, and we had a Taco Bell on our campus, and at the time there was a Taco Bell boycott, and so we started a campaign to cut our contract with Taco Bell in solidarity with the CIW. And then once I graduated and moved back down to the Valley, I found out that there was already an organization in the Valley that was working with the CIW in solidarity with the CIW, and so I just joined up with them, and now we roll together.
What made you interested in organizing, especially student organizing, around your college days, and what made you interested in joining the SFA?
Specifically, working with the CIW was actually the first thing that I ever got involved with in terms of political consciousness, and it was specifically related to the fact that my dad was a farm worker when he was younger, and hearing about the conditions that he faced, and then when I found out that they were continuing to this day, and even in some cases worse than the past, then I had to get involved. And from there, it's also my analysis of power and how we need to really build our own power to resist the power of the different oppressive systems, like the government and corporations that would rather us not have power than student organizing fits directly in with that analysis.
Well, what role do you think the CIW is playing in fighting against globalization? What level or what front are they being attacked at, in your opinion?
I think that in terms of the, that's sort of a tough question, but I guess a quick answer would be bringing to light the situation of the workers here in our own country that are facing a lot of conditions that are directly a result of this increased globalization. Not only their need to come to the United States to work, but also the situation in the United States becoming so bad because the corporations that are driving the globalization becoming more powerful, and fighting on that front, and then of course raising that awareness, and then us taking those analyses to our communities and teaching folks around those issues.
Well, before the CIW and the SFA, what kind of organizing work did you do with your former organization?
Nothing. That was the first thing that I got involved with. So, the organization itself worked on a lot of issues with around immigration, specifically detention centers that are in the Valley that are housing a lot of immigrants and subjecting them to pretty harsh conditions while they're being processed and in the process of being deported. Also situations like the increased militarization of the border, and the ICE and Migra INS in the past, like coming down harder on inmigrantes in our area.
Cool. Well, what role do you see yourself playing in the organization right now?
Right now, mainly bringing the constant updates from the CIW and the Student Farm Worker Alliance to the Rio Grande Valley. Because I am also on the steering committee of the Student Farm Worker Alliance, and so we get to hear the decisions that are made as soon as, you know, shortly after they're made, and bring it out to our community in the valley. And I guess connecting the struggles that we have locally with the struggle of the farm workers in Florida, and also connecting that to the larger process of neoliberal capitalism.
How do you feel about the success that the organization has had so far, and what do you see in the future for the CIW?
Well, the success has been amazing. I mean, I really honestly didn't believe it was possible. We spent a good 3 years consistently working to cut our contract with Taco Bell at the time, and people would tell us it wasn't going to work, it's not going to work, it's not going to change anything, you're never going to be successful. And really, my experience with other movements at the time told me that it wasn't going to be successful. And when it was successful for the first time with Taco Bell, and then again with McDonald's, and now the third time with Burger King, then it really has made me understand that these things can be done if combining the right elements, combining the worker-led organization, the analysis of why workers are here in this country, and what the situation with the power structure in Florida and how that relates to capitalism in general, specifically connecting with people of faith and the power that brings to a movement, and the youth and the creative elements that all of those bring together to advance a campaign, make it successful in that way.
Cool. Once again, state your name and your organization and where you're from.
Again, my name is John Michael Torres, and I work with the World Peace Alliance of the Rio Grande Valley of Texas.
All right. Thanks, man.
If you're just joining us, this is On Blast with the Philadelphia Student Union on WPEB 88.1 FM.
The last piece we heard was about Student Union Farm Workers Alliance. Up next, we have a segment about student wage funding. But first, let's hear some music.
Because you never know what life is going to take you, and you can't change where you've been. But today, I have the opportunity to choose. Here I am now looking at 30 and I got so much to say. Gotta get this off of my chest, I gotta let it go today. I was always too concerned about what everybody would think. But I can't live for everybody, I gotta live my life for me, yeah. I've reached a fork in the road of my life, and ain't nothing gonna happen unless I decide to be the best that I can be. To be authentic in everything I do. My past don't dictate who I am. I choose, yeah. I'd have been through some painful things, I thought that I would never make it through. Filled up with shame from the top of my head to the soles of my shoes. I put myself in so many chaotic circumstances. By the grace of God, I've been given so many second chances. But today I decided to let it all go. I'm dropping these bags, I'm making room for my joy. I choose to be the best that I can't be.
I choose
to be authentic in everything
I do.
My past don't dictate who I am.
I choose.
Because you never know what life is gonna take you, and you can't change where you live. But today I have
Now, Khalif Dobson explores what student-weighted funding means and what it might mean for Philadelphia students if it gets put into place in our schools.
Hello, my name is Khalif Dobson from the Philadelphia Student Union, and I will be breaking down what weighted student funding is. Now, you may be asking yourself, why would I need to know what weighted student funding is? And the answer to that is because the new superintendent, Arlene Ackerman, has said that this is something that she might try to implement in the Philadelphia School District. Here's a clip of her speaking about weighted student funding on a segment on PBS entitled The Weighted Student Formula Debate.
The weighted student formula, it really was about addressing equity. Mm-hmm. And what I found in all three districts is it's important to make this a community debate. To talk about it, to show the numbers, and that then raises it not only at a district level, but it then takes it to the next policy level at the state.
In fact, Dr. Ackerman has implemented this in all of her last four school districts. The student-weighted funding formula is a fiscal methodology designed to determine how to allocate funds in an equitable way to schools based on a specific student characteristics that are developed and agreed upon by school districts. These students' characteristics vary from school district to school district. In other words, each child will have a backpack of money that will follow them from school to school. Some backpacks will get additional dollars based on certain criteria. This criteria could include, for Philadelphia, gifted and talented, special education, low income, and English language learners. In other cities that Ackerman has put in place weighted student funding, the outcomes varied. For example, in Washington, D.C., after Ackerman left, they scrapped the weighted student funding formula. The superintendent that replaced her says, "The weighted student formula has not served many schools well, placing too much power in the hands of the principals." In Denver, the school district is going into its second year of having student weighted funding. In the first year, nothing was really changed. Part of the formula they used is called Hold Harmless, and it means that no school lost money from the new system, even the schools that were overfunded. In Philadelphia, education organizers are trying to figure out what this will mean if Philadelphia gets weighted student funding. After hearing about what happened in Denver, one concerned Philadelphian had this to say. "This whole thing can easily become a way to spend massive amounts of time pretending you're doing something about equality and really not doing anything. This affects the students because if it's not ran correctly, they will be the ones to suffer. There must be a committee of community members and other people to monitor its progress and ensure that it works correctly. The community must have input on what will be weighted. In other words, who will get more money and benefit the most from it? One of the things that can be a deciding factor in whether or not the weighted student funding will run correctly is teacher salaries." Dr. Ackerman has said that she does not plan to use actual teacher salaries in the formula. What this means is that it would have less of an impact in changing the schools. In conclusion, the weighted student funding formula has a lot of potential to be beneficial to the students of Philadelphia, but it must first be transparent and have community and student input.
up under covers and quilts, chilly month of December. Under the weather maybe, in a slump fading, what made me hazy? Something keeps saying there's no point in getting out of bed and raising my head. And when I finally do, I regret it, though I pretend it's fine. Staying on my mind, I'm sick of playing games, merry-go-rounds. You can't deny I was spinning around in circles, circles. Every time we meet at this spot, I hurt you. Far from perfect, when worst comes to worst, but when best comes to best, it's where it's all worth it. But you're sick and keep abiding. I know I'm the virus. Please don't keep holding on. Straining body and soul, depths of pain in our clutch. We gotta let go, we gotta let go. None of these bills warm the chills and make days sunny, making cash. Wonder if my day's wasted, if today was the last. I guess it is all in vain, hard to gain an inch. My harsh judgment persecuting, shooting, clipping wings. I'm used to it now, so much I don't notice when my life's said and done. I wonder what I have to show for it, who's close to me. Have I shown you one thing you won't forget? Please don't forget. I bet this moment will be lost after this song. I'm gone. Won't you miss me at all, huh? I'm waiting for an answer. Sucking life out of light like a vampire. Your time got my hands tied up. I just wanna let the wind flow through and fly up and away.
Up next, we'll hear a piece produced by Dan Jones, a member of PSU.
Last year, the Philadelphia Student Union helped fight to change the education funding formula for Pennsylvania schools. We helped win a $274 million increase in general education spending and a $50 million increase for Philadelphia alone, as well as a radical change in the way schools are funded to a formula actually based on the need of students in each district. I spoke with Vince Gordon, school board director for Upper Darby, about how he felt about the funding formula change.
I've been a supporter of the governor and the state's funding formula, change in the funding formula, especially as a school director. I know the importance of getting the state to put up their fair share in public education and reducing the dependency on property taxes for the residents. Upper Darby received, I believe, almost a $5 million increase, or an additional $5 million in funding from the state as a result of the funding formula. I don't want to commit to the percentage, but I believe it was over a 20% more than what we historically have gotten in the past.
20% is a huge increase, but more important than percentages or numbers is what kind of impact those extra dollars make for students, teachers, and the school community on the ground. I asked him what kind of impact the money had had in Upper Darby.
I have one high school, two middle schools, and I want to say 13 elementary schools. And what we've been able to do is standardize all the tools for the curriculum with this money, which means that a school that is in one part of the community has the same resources that a school, say, may, in another part of the community may not have had before, because we depended on maybe a home and school fundraising or parent fundraising just to provide those basic materials. But now with this additional funding, we're able to reduce our dependency on other funding sources and primarily rely on the dollars from the state to normalize and make sure that all of our schools have the same tools.
Philadelphia school district officials, are you listening? There are major inequities in the school district right now, and so the top priority for how you spend that $50 million has to be closing those gaps and ending the inequitable distribution of resources and teachers in Philly schools. We all need and deserve the same tools. The original plan proposed by the governor included raises in spending for education over a period of 6 years, but the legislature only passed the first year's increase. I asked Mr. Gordon what needed to happen in order to ensure that we get our increase for next year.
you know, the economy has to get better because the governor and the state legislators have both cited that if the state does not get the revenue or the tax revenue it's expecting as a result of the economy, it'll run a deficit, and those dollars that we receive this year may be at jeopardy.
But the state of the economy is out of most people who need to see the increase's hands. So what can people on the ground do to make sure that next year's increase gets passed?
We first have them identify who are their state representative and state senator, and pick up the phone, call, write letters, encourage other family members, et cetera, to write letters regardless of political affiliation, because we're talking about public education. So it's, you know, Democrats or Republicans, it's not a partisan issue. So I would, no matter who your state rep is or who your state senator is, you pick up the phone, you call, you write letters, you email. If it's every other day, every week, once a month, et cetera, just letting them know that funding of public education is probably the most important thing in this upcoming budget cycle. So we have to continue to advocate as citizens, as school board directors, as teachers and parents, to make sure that the state continues to make funding of public education a priority.
This has been Dan Jones for On Blast Radio with the Philadelphia Student Union.
We gotta keep on keeping up. We gotta keep on keeping up.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is under the earth. I know you don't know what life is really worth. Is that all that Peter is going?
Stand up for your right.
Stand up right now.
Get up, stand up.
From the fall of segregation to the rise of hip-hop, we are empowering the youth with our voices nonstop. Philly students are we, so tune in on Sundays on WPEB from 2 to 3, and with your ears, you will see how the youth is reclaiming our economies. From marches on Harrisburg to fight for legislation, see how these Philly students are reclaiming their education. It's about time we put it on blast. Students are the future, present, and past.
This is the Philadelphia Student Union. Make sure you listen to On Blast every Sunday from 2 to 3 on 88.1 FM WPEB.
Just a taste of what Student Union does and what you can look forward to. We'll be letting you know about events in West Philly that will be better education in our community. So listen up and you can get involved too.
Send comments and questions to onblast@phillystudentunion.org. We'd love to hear from you. Tune in next week, Sunday from 1 to 2 p.m. for the next edition of On Blast with the Philadelphia Student Union.
If you want more information about Philadelphia Student Union, check out our website at www.phillystudentunion.org or email us at info@phillystudentunion.org. You should also find us on MySpace and Facebook.